Welcome to a special Friday edition of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the weekly update where we examine the latest headlines from all across the world to keep you informed about issues that affect your faith. Stay aware, stay informed. It's the special Friday edition of Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us in this very special broadcast, since it is Friday, June the 28th of the year of our Lord, 2024. With me today, as usual, my dear wonderful friend, Brother Paul from Rochester, New York. Hello, Brother Paul.
Hi, it's a beautiful, beautiful day. We're enjoying first school-free day.
All right, good, good, good. And with me today, Christy Johnson from Missouri. Hello, Sister Christiana, how are you?
Hello, Usama. I'm fine, and we've had a wonderful rain, which we needed desperately. Man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm here in Wisconsin. I'm about to head home, Lord's willing, in the end of this week. Well, Brother Paul, we have some information to share this week about Islam and the fruits of Islam, which fall every week from the trees of Islam. Let's go ahead and start with what's going on here in America.
This week, more than 100 American families of the devastating October 7th Hamas assault on Israel filed a lawsuit Monday claiming $1 billion in damages from UNRWA, the UN aid agency for Palestinians, accusing that it aided and abetted the terror group's assault. The lawsuit named as defendants the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees, as well as seven of its past and current leaders, including head Felipe Lazzarini. It said UNRWA, which coordinates nearly all aid to Gaza, let Hamas use its facilities for weapons storage, allowed tunnels and command centers to be built under its sites, and funneled cash into the terror group's coffers by insisting on paying employees in U.S. dollars. The lawsuit further claims that Hamas money exchangers then took 10% to 25% cut out of each check. Not stated in this lawsuit is the question, could Hamas have afforded to continue its terrorism without the financial and organizational support of the UNRWA?
That's a very good question, Brother Paul, and I believe there is a question that is uglier than that. Could Hamas have done what they did without the support of the United States of America? Not just the United Nations. When you think about the United Nations, you think about 57 Muslim countries. And Muslims will support Muslims over any infidel. So I believe under Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, and actually started in Bush days where he forced the Jewish people out of Gaza Strip. I believe we as America have lots of blood in our hands because we continue to support Hamas, even though we don't say we support Hamas. We just support the Gazans or support the Palestinians. When in reality, you and I know that Hamas is Gazan and Gazans are Hamas, then I'm sorry. Any money, any food, any medicine, any support we send in any shape or form to the people of Gaza is support for Hamas. I believe this is the reality. We are supporting jihadi worldwide, not just in Gaza, but in every Muslim country we send aid to. We need to read the Quran again so we can learn about Islam and the Muslims so we can stop sending any aid to any Muslim country, including my home country, Egypt. These people are not supposed to be supported because when you support this jihadi, you're actually supporting violence all over the world.
You know, I'm happy that this lawsuit is going forward against the UN. We first heard about this story and it was like a little rumor. Like people couldn't believe it. They said, oh, this agency with the UN had helped the terrorists. And then the story disappeared. So I'm thankful that they've taken the courage to file a lawsuit here from the United States on behalf of the victims from the United States. And now, hopefully, this will get back into the media and they'll have to be accountable for what they've done at the UN.
Well, Brother Paul, let's move on to the next story.
The NBC has reported that the Department of Homeland Security has identified over 400 immigrants from Central Asia and elsewhere who crossed into the United States in the past 3 years as subjects of concern because they were brought by an ISIS-affiliated human smuggling network. While over 150 of them have been arrested, the whereabouts of over 50 remain unknown. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is looking to arrest them on immigration charges when they are located. Usama, 400 400 minus 150 is over 50, but it's actually 250. This just brings up more questions about how O'Biden's administration is working to assist Islamic terrorism in their infiltration of the United States.
I believe if we investigate everything Mr. O'Biden and his administrative team has been doing for the last 3.5 years, lots of people will be arrested and they will be spending long, long years in prison. When you say subject of concern, how in the world somebody coming through our border illegal? I'm not even talking about the one who came to this country and we have no clue who they are or where they are. I'm talking about these are the people they know of. And they are subject of concern. And you let them go in anyway. And I guarantee you, they give each one of them a slip of paper. Say, please show up in court in the next 8 years or 10 years. As if these people will not perform a suicide for Allah in the next few months. There is a lots of blood on O'Biden and his people's hand right now. We got plenty of the little cases here and there. Some young girls get raped and get killed, and their body dumped into water. Watch the thousands of Americans who will be killed by those people whom we call subject of concern.
But you know what, Usama? When we talk about these people coming into the country, now they've identified them. I'd like to know, they identified them to begin with, and now they're saying, oh, they came in with the assistance of a terrorist group? Well, how on earth did this get to this point? Why were they not stopped in the first place? That's what's wrong with our open border. It's interesting that they've rounded up 150 out of 400. And now, hey, we're getting close to an election. Maybe they're trying to send a signal that they actually care about what's going on.
Yes, indeed. And the other 12, 13, 14 millions. How many of them are Muslim jihadi? Let's move on, Brother Paul, to our story from Canada.
Jihad Watch reported that Arif Virani, Canada's Attorney General and Minister of Justice, hired Baju Dattani as Chief Commissioner of the Canadian Human Rights Commission, otherwise known as CHRC. Then it came to light that Dattani, who went by the name Mujahid in his earlier academic years, was engaged in questionable activity. What is known is that in 2015, Dattani spoke on a panel in the UK alongside a member of his Al-Tahrir, an Islamic group that seeks to establish a new caliphate and oppose the existence of an Israeli state. The member of Hizb Al-Tahrir was Adnan Khan, whose writings were found amongst Osama bin Laden's papers by American Special Forces in their raid of his Pakistani compound in 2011. In 2014, Dattani spoke on a panel at a Turkish university with Osama Kashuk, a member of the Mavi Mari flotilla, who was arrested 4 years earlier for trying to breach Israel's naval cordon of the Gaza Strip. Dattani repeatedly lectured during the Israeli apartheid week at British universities about the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. However, Dattani's earlier activities are reportedly difficult to trace because he went by his middle name, Mujahid. Mujahid is an Arabic word which means a jihad warrior for Islam. Hey, Usama, would you trust someone with a name like Mujahid had to act without bias on a human rights commission?
Absolutely not. But by the way, let me remind you, under Barack Hussein Obama, one of his spiritual advisors, her name was Dalia Mujahid. She, by the way, bragged about that she was able to pray 5 times a day in the White House. And she said Muslims pray the Friday prayer in the Congress. So here it is, America. Why in the world did the Canadian put a Muslim man as Attorney General of Minister of Justice in Canada? You know why? Because he is planted there. For what purpose? To plant other people like him in high position in the government of Canada. By the name Mujahid or by the name Love, it doesn't make any difference. This is a sad story, and it will continue to happen simply because the people of Canada and the people of America and the people of Europe are so ignorant of the topic of Islam.
Yeah, this is really the tactic they use everywhere. And that is why, Usama, and I was just speaking about it the other day, it is so dangerous that we ignored Barack Hussein Obama's background as a Muslim. And when he came into office, he did the exact same thing. We have filled the CIA and FBI with members of various Muslim beliefs, and all of them appointed by Obama.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straightway of Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Let's move on, Brother Paul, to our next story here, which comes to us from Germany.
A 20-year-old woman in Hamburg, Germany, has been sent to prison after making hateful remarks towards a migrant who was involved in the gang rape of a child. The woman is just one of 140 people being investigated for making harmful comments toward the rapist. Note the absence of the word alleged. Nine of the men charged were found guilty. Eight of them were given no jail time, only probation. One received 2 years and 9 months in jail. The horrific assault took place in 2020, involved multiple groups of migrant men independently attacking a 14-year-old girl in Hamburg over the course of one night. While 11 were arrested, only the DNA of 9 was found on the 14-year-old girl's body. Among those charged, none were of German heritage. The rapists were identified as a Pole, an Egyptian, a Libyan, a Kuwaiti, an Iranian, Armenian, an Afghan, a Syrian, and a Montenegrin. The man had a team of 20 defense attorneys arguing their innocence, but because the rapists made videos declaring their innocence was problematic. However, somehow, before the trial, those videos were deleted. Angered by the news of the case, a 20-year-old woman from Hamburg messaged a rapist through WhatsApp. The unnamed woman called him a dishonorable rapist pig and a disgusting miscarriage. She added, "Aren't you ashamed when you look in the mirror?" The targeted rapist then reported the woman to the police, and she was charged with sending him insulting messages. The woman has now been convicted and sentenced to a weekend in prison for her remarks, meaning she'll have spent more time in jail than 8 of the 9 rapists. In court, the woman apologized for remarks, saying she acted out of reflex upon hearing the sickening details of the case. But according to the Hamburger Abendblatt, this woman is not the only person who could be facing a conviction for insulting the rapists. 140 more Germans face also the same charges.
You know what, Paul? I think the German people are more than stupid. To call the German people stupid is insult to the stupid of planet Earth. That woman spoke the truth about how wicked and evil these Muslim men who raped the 14-year-old girl. And the problem I have with the German is, once again, their ignorance of Islam. They should study a little bit about the noble example who set by Allah for Muslims to follow. The problem is not in these men who raped that little girl. The problem is in the Prophet of Islam. Had the people of Germany learned the truth about Muhammad, who was given the right by Allah to rape little girls like his own wife, Aisha, whom he married when she was 6, and he raped between the age of 9 to 18 until he died. That Prophet Muhammad set the example for these men to do what he did in Germany. And as long as the German people cannot tie the actions of the Muslims throughout their land to their Prophet Muhammad, this story will continue to repeat more and more and more. It will never stop.
Been heading that way for a long time in Europe, Usama, and you've been warning about it for many, many years. When you started to talk about how the German media was cutting out any reports or giving any names that might sound like they were connected to Muslims when there were crimes happening in Germany.
And the worst is yet to come. Well, we have another story coming up here to us from Russia.
The Daily Mail reported that at least 20 people were slaughtered when jihadis stormed Jewish and Christian sites and a police checkpoint on June 23rd in southern Russia. Horrific footage showed black-clad militants stalking through the streets, setting fire to places of worship before unleashing a torrent of bullets from automatic rifles at police officers and innocent bystanders. The casualties included 15 law enforcement officers, 3 civilians, and a priest who had his throat slit by one attacker, with dozens more hospitalized with gunshot wounds and burns. An attempt was made to pin this on Western governments. However, their attempt to pin this attack on the West fell apart after Mogamad Amarov, the head of Dagestan's Sergokolinsky district, was arrested when officers learned 2 of his sons had taken part in the shootings. During the interrogation, Amarov reportedly admitted to investigators he knew his sons were Muslim Wahhabis, something they describe as a particularly radical sect of Islam. Yet he had claimed prior that he had no contact with them. Another of the shooters was said to be a mixed martial artist fighter affiliated with a gym operated by former UFC lightweight champion Khabib Nurmagomedov, one of Dagestan's most internationally celebrated individuals.
This is in Russia.
Yes.
Muslims are doing a good job in Russia. Well, guess how many Muslim Wahhabi we have here in America? Few thousands, if not hundreds of thousands. And what you see happening in Russia is exactly what's been happening all over Europe. It's exactly what will happen to a city near you here in America. And I do not know when are we going to wake up in this country to learn the truth about Islam before we see people being killed by the hand of the Muslims.
You know, Usama, one thing that struck me about this story, and you may remember it too, that one of the worst attacks that ever happened in Russia, where the Muslim attacker terrorist took over a school. They slaughtered children. They slaughtered the teachers. Russia took a very strong stand against Muslims at that point, and they continued to be intolerant of this kind of stuff going on in their country. Sadly, the enemy of Islam was recognized by Russia before we recognized it as Americans, and Russia is trying to fight this off, even as there are Muslims within their own country, but also Ukrainian Muslims are also enemies of Russia. You know what? These are our enemies too. It just surprises me that we've never recognized our common problem in these countries and these attacks.
Sure. And don't forget, Christy, that 20% of the Russians are Muslims. That is the last study I did a few years ago. I'm not sure what is the number now. So that is what's happening. When Muslims grow in numbers, the real Islam will appear on the face of the surface. Brother Paul, let's go to Bangladesh. We have one more story.
The Hindu Voice reports that on the 19th of June, Muslims Muhammad Kokan and Muhammad Amadul and their gangs attacked a Hindu locality that includes homes and a temple. They vandalized the homes and the temple before setting them on fire. The Hindus present could not take any action because the Muslims came armed.
It is a problem of planet Earth. And I can assure you, all the people of the Earth can live in harmony with one another, except when you put Muslims in it. Muslims have a big problem with other Muslims. So it is Islam. The fruit of Islam is destroying, killing, stealing. This is the fruit of the work of Allah, Satan, which you will see everywhere around the world. If it is Russia, if it is Germany, if it is America, if it is Canada, if it is Bangladesh, if it is Saudi Arabia, it is the same. Which, by the way, that will bring us to the last story we have for our broadcast for today, which coming to us from the country of Saudi Arabia.
At least 1,300 pilgrims died during the Hajj, underscoring the grueling nature of the pilgrimage, which once again unfolded in scorching temperatures. At least 660 of those who died were Egyptians, most of them succumbing to heat-related illnesses. Senior Saudi official had stated 577 people died on the 2 busiest days of the Hajj alone, Saturday, when pilgrims prayed in the sun on Mount Arafat, and Sunday during the stoning of the devil ritual in Mina. The number is a problem because it's the exact number of people reported dead at one point. Saudi officials stated that all of them, the Egyptians, died because of the heat, except the one who sustained fatal injuries during a minor crowd crash. At least 60 Jordanians also died. Temperatures hit 51.8 degrees Celsius, which is 125 degrees Fahrenheit, at the Haram Mosque in Mecca on Monday. It should be known that Egypt's foreign ministry was collaborating with Saudi authorities on search operations for Egyptians who had gone missing during the Hajj. For some reason, the large number of deaths had not been reported at that time. Saudi authorities have reportedly treated more than 2,000 pilgrims suffering from heat stress, but have not updated that figure.
It's a very sad story, and I don't think the Muslim will wake up with the ridiculous practice of the pillar of Hajj, because they never been taught the truth about it. It is keeping the tradition of old idol worshippers. There's nothing holy about that site. And by the way, we don't even count the number of people who died after coming back home to the country for many other sicknesses and diseases they get from everyone who go to the pilgrimage. The forgiveness of sin cannot be accepted by the shedding of blood of Jesus himself. It is sad to see what's happening in Saudi Arabia, but it breaks my heart to see people die in the thousands over empty, ungodly ritual without any benefit.
This is to tell you, for us as believers in Christ, how we must treasure the freedom that Christ bought for us, to be free from this kind of ritual and this kind of work that they think they're doing in order to have forgiveness of their sin. It is so tragic.
Yes, indeed, Sister Christy. Well, that brings us to the end of our broadcast for today. Brother Paul, thank you for producing this show. Sister Christy, for co-hosting this show. God bless you all. And our dear audience, thank you for being with us today. And until we meet again in another broadcast, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.